Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Mystical spiritual experiences when he was a teenager revealed to Dr. William K. Dorrance, a retired optometrist, that we are spiritual beings immersed in the omnipresent God of love. He pleaded with God to be led to a Jesus-like spiritual teacher. His new book, Encounters with God, contains a serendipitous sequence of improbable experiences which led him to Jesus-like spiritual teachers. In his 40s, he assumed God wanted him to share his experiences by writing a book. After almost 40 years of research, he accumulated enough evidence to make paranormal and supernormal phenomena understandable and believable, as he presents answers that awaken the soul and challenge the intellect. Back with us on This Week in America, the author of Encounters with God, retired optometrist Dr. William Dorrance. Doctor, welcome back to the program. Great to have you back with us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bratton. I'm happy to be here and hopefully encourage people to buy the book and provide themselves with evidence that they're a spiritual being and that God is an omnipresent reality in their lives.
Well, that's what we'll talk about today. We had time in the conversation a week ago to cover some of the basics of the book. We're getting into it a little bit further today. In fact, in the previous conversation, after reading the Gospels, you 15 years old at the time, you prayed to be led to a Jesus-like spiritual teacher. How were you led to that Jesus-like spiritual teacher? Because it actually happened.
It took a long sequence of experiences. Satya Sai Baba, the man who's pictured on the cover of my book, he's referred to as the avatar of our age. And he said that nobody comes to him except that it is his will and that he draws them to him at appropriate points in their lives. And my book very clearly illustrates that that's the case. When I was 15 and was pleading to God to lead me to somebody who seemed to think of God as not someone out there separate from them, but as somebody who is actually part of their own experience.
That is such an interesting concept.
I was, of course, too young to really be drawn to Satya Sai Baba. And he is more or less in spades the person on the planet at that time when I was praying who was a Jesus-like person. And so nothing really happened of a sort of a weird nature that made me realize, eventually anyway, that I was being drawn towards that Jesus-like person that I hope to eventually experience in my lifetime. But I would like to sort of start at the last step or experience. And that last step was more or less executed by the man who took the picture on the cover of my book. His name's Armand Marcotte, and he was this incredibly talented psychic. He was so amazing in his ability to make predictions for people that one man was motivated to write his autobiography for him. So it's written as if Armand wrote the book, even though this man wrote it for him. Another lady wrote two books based on his incredible accuracy of his predictions. And he was the featured monthly speaker at the Parapsychology Association of Riverside, which 10 years earlier circumstances had gotten me to become a real active member of. And during his speech, he passed out 4x6 inch prints of the picture that's on the cover of the book, and he passed out his business card. And the story behind the picture is kind of amazing. He when he had been in India earlier that year at Satya Sai Baba's primary ashram in Pradipati, India, Satya Sai Baba had told him that he wanted to see him in an interview, but he never did get the interview. So when he got home and had the film in his camera developed, and he saw that picture as one of the pictures in his roll of film, he interpreted it as his sort of consolation prize for not getting an interview. An interesting sidelight to that picture, which has light radiating out from Satya Sai Baba's hands, is that when Satya Sai Baba was asked to describe what was different about him and us, like Jesus, he used analogies to make spiritual descriptions or
Yes.
to explain them. And he said that if you thought of me as a 1,000 watt light bulb, you or people are light bulbs of various powered wattages, but the power that runs your light bulb is the same power that enables my abilities.
Yes.
In addition to passing out that picture during his presentation at the Parapsychology Association of Riverside, he passed out his business card. And a couple of days after his talk, when I came into my optometry practice, my office manager told me that her oncologist had given her 6 months to live and hoping that she would get more positive indication of how long she had to live. She surprised me by telling me that she'd been to a psychic. And I remembered Armand's business card, and so I took it out of my wallet, gave it to her, and said, "This guy seems to be pretty good. You might want to see him for a third opinion." And a few days later, by coincidence, she actually found his business card while looking for her keys in her purse while she was shopping on the same street that Armand's office was located. So she drove to his office, entered and said, "I don't have an appointment." And Armand said, "That's okay. I just had a cancellation." And when she returned from that session with Armand, she was very angry and upset with him because he responded to her life and death situation by dismissing it with, "You be okay." And what was amazing was, see, I didn't know him at all. I was just a member of the audience. He told her that your boss is supposed to go with me in a few weeks on my second return trip to India. And here, give him back this business card and tell him to call me. Well, that just really frosted her. But I didn't find out until later that he had also told her that she was going to marry an older spiritual man with three sons and a daughter. Well, in 1992, 6 years later, she married her minister, who was 20 years older than her, and he had three sons and a daughter. And when I was walking the streets in Puttaparthi, India, with Armand, this lady came running up to us. And she said, "Armand, Armand." When he was there earlier that year, he had predicted what was going to happen for her. And she said, "Armand, everything you said has happened just as you said it." But he told me that in his inner eye or whatever, He sees as if he was watching a television set. He can see people's future, and he can see people's past lives, experiences in their past lives, and he's just simply telling them what he sees on television. And so, Armand Marcotte, you can, I'm sure, Google Armand Marcotte and read those
Oh, yes.
books. And in the back of my book, I've got a section called For Further Study. And the first part of it is for skeptics, people who are inclined to want to be an atheist and have difficulty accepting the concept of God, souls, and an afterlife. And it gives them references that they can read or study, or things that they can do to help to reveal to them that they really are a spiritual being. And then for those who are spiritual seekers, I have advice for them to continue on in their studies. But I wouldn't have gotten to that experience, been in the right place at the right time to get Armand's business card and the picture that's on the cover of my book.
Yes.
If it wasn't for events that happened, at least 10 years earlier, if not earlier. And in my, when I got out of the Air Force and realized or wanted to become a self-employed optometrist, I bought two practices, one of which was pretty much given to me because it was an old rundown 50-year-old optometry practice in the Fox Theater building in downtown Riverside, California. And next door to me was a lady named Gail Harrell, who owned a boutique that specialized in 60s-style children for teenagers. And during the lunch hour, I got to talking with her, and she told me that once a week, she got together at Hazel Denning's house with a few other ladies, and she simultaneously hypnotized them and regressed them to experience their prior lives. She told me how she realized as she was experiencing these lives that the souls in the people in these past lives was the same soul that were in significant people in her present life. She also told me that the phobias and idiosyncrasies and fears that she seemed to have been born with, she realized the cause in her past lives. For example, she said she'd always been terrified of swimming pools, and she realized why when she experienced drowning in a pool back in ancient Egypt. Well, I don't know about you, but I was pretty much brought up in my college education to be a skeptic and not to
yes.
believe any metaphysical mumbo jumbo. And so I didn't believe her. And when she encouraged me to go to the Riverside Parapsychology Association and attend one of their meetings, and this organization had been started by Hazel Denning and a few of her friends. And within a few years, it had grown to over 700 members. And because it was drawing from literally millions of people, it had incredibly talented people like Armand Marcotte to be able to experience.
Yes.
So I experienced as living a life for over 20 years as if I lived in the muggle usual world that I was born and raised in, and being able to on a weekly basis by attending classes and workshops and stuff, interact with people that gave me very much the feeling I was going to Hogwarts. And so, in addition to, Gail and this, I had a sequence of experiences to make me change my mind, to make me want to go to a weird place, like Hogwarts, with people that study metaphysics and parapsychology, th things that I just wasn't r raised to readily accept. And one of those things that made me change my mind was the minister of the Church of Religious Science had come in and gotten her eyes examined. And when she came in late on a Saturday morning to pick up her glasses, I locked the door after she got her glasses, and we left together. And when I got home, my phone was ringing. So I answered the phone, and it was Reverend Madeline DeGrace. And she had gotten my unlisted phone number from one of the members of the congregation. And she told me when she took the glasses out of the case, the temple or earpiece wasn't attached. Would I drive back to the office, fix her glasses, so she could prepare the sermon for the next day? Well, when we couldn't have been, not even an hour could have passed since we left the office, and I opened the door, went in, and there on the receptionist's desk, which had a glass surface on it, were puddles or blobs of water located every place that there wasn't something else on the glass surface. And so I'm just really puzzled because I had the only key. And Reverend DeGrace walked in behind me because I'd left the door open. And she said, "What are you so puzzled by?" And I was looking at the ceiling, trying to see if there was a leak. And I showed her the puddles and explained to her that I, how did they possibly get there? And she handed me this book that she had in her hands, and she said, "This book may give you some insight into this experience and help you to relate better to it." And it was loaned to me by a member of the congregation. So please, when you're finished with it, bring it back to the church. And every time I brought books back to her, she always loaned me another one. Well, this book was called Ariel, Surgeon with the Rusty Knife, and it was about a Brazilian healer who had no medical training, knew absolutely nothing about pharmacology or anything, but he did surgery w with rusty pocket knives and kitchen knives. And medical doctors went down there to study, and Brazilian doctors studied him and recorded that he did a remarkable job. His patients, he cured diseases that the medical doctors said were incurable. He wrote prescriptions, even though he knew nothing about pharmacology, and the explanation was that inside him, this deceased German physician was doing it all through him while he was in a trance. And so I had trouble figuring out how does this Brazilian healer have anything to do with blobs of liquid on my desk? But one of them, of course, is that contemporary science doesn't accept any of this stuff. It's all mumbo jumbo that they disregard and ignore. But if you've ever been into a metaphysical bookstore, there's thousands of people who've had experiences that are every bit, if not more weird than the ones that are in my book.
That's just incredible.
The Do we have time for more experiences
Yeah,
that led me?
give me another story. We've got 4 or 5 minutes left here. It's going by so quickly, but they're fascinating. Our guest on the program, if you're just joining us, is William K. Dorrance. That's Dorrance. He's a retired optometrist. His book is Encounters with God. It is full of the information that we're talking about today. It's amazing the improbable sequence of events that led the doctor to all of these different discoveries, led him to write the book, and years, decades he spent writing, and he's a scientist, so he's skeptical of things, and he documented everything in his book. The book is Encounters with God, and Doctor, I'll let you go ahead and finish the story.
Well, one of the experiences was Hazel Denning's husband. He came in to get his eyes examined, and after the eye examination, I asked Mr. Denning what he thought of his wife's weird activities. As you remember, once a week she hypnotized people and regressed them to experience their prior lives. And he said, well, my wife and I sort of do our own things and have our own separate interests. But, you know, one of her friends, with nothing more than my birth information, wrote an astrology report on me that revealed things about myself that I didn't really consciously know until I read them. And as I read them, I realized they were true. She, with nothing more than my birth information, knew more about me than I knew myself. Well, that really upset me, because nothing could possibly be more absurd and ridiculous and absurd than to think that the position of the sun and the moon and the planets could have absolutely anything to do with anybody. And I wish at this point my mind would think of another experience. But after several weird experiences like that, I eventually decided to go to a meeting of the Riverside Parapsychology Association, and they have had, unfortunately, the internet sort of replaced the function that they fulfill, but it really doesn't. There's no, you can't use a computer or whatever to have the same experience that you have by actually interacting with people. So in addition to a monthly speaker, they had classes that were taught by incredibly talented people with very unusual Hogwarts-type abilities.
Yes.
And incredibly knowledgeable. And because we were drawing from a pool of millions of people, being close to Los Angeles, it was possible to experience those people. And they had, well, the first class I took was Hatha Yoga by a man who went to India and lived there in India for several years. And he, like me, he was a spiritual seeker. Leastways, I eventually was. Well, actually, I was way back ever since my mom taught me how to pray. And I immediately experienced God as a presence in my life and experienced love for God. Sachasai Baba, on the cover of my book, said, if you take one step towards me, I'll take 100 towards you. And I surely took that step when I prayed to be led to a Jesus-like spiritual teacher.
What an amazing set of experiences. And you'll find so much in the book that we're talking about on the program today. The book is Encounters with God by William K. Dorrance. That's Dorrance. Explores the thought-provoking intersection of the supernatural, with science and religion. And as you hear a skeptic going into this, this really turned your life around, didn't it? It's really changed who you are as an individual, as a person.
I'm not sure that that's true. I think our genes pretty much determine who we are to a large degree. But as the book makes very clear, at least towards the end, we're a combination of two things. We're a physical body, but we also have a soul. And that's that spark that Sacchasai Baba talked about, where he was, and he wasn't talking about us as people. He was talking about our spirit, our soul, when he said, and Sacchasai Baba is just an ordinary person like anybody else. It's the spirit within him that is different, that's the 1,000-watt light bulb, whereas we're light bulbs of minuscule power by comparison, but extremely variable, as you'll find out if you read my book. Some people are pretty powerful light bulbs. Jesus said the most important teaching is to love God with all your heart. And Sacchasai Baba said, if you take one step towards him, he'll take 100 towards you. But you're not going to be able to take that step without first loving God. That's sort of like the first step. And so the scientists who are pretty much brought into an atheistic culture and encouraged to be of that mindset, God's not going to come to them and reveal to them that they should be showing some interest in investigating the evidence for God's souls in an afterlife, which my book also has plenty of. The only way for them to actually have mystical spiritual experiences like I've had, and the people in my book, and the scads more that, of course, my book doesn't mention at all, is to actually get out there and investigate this stuff and to acquire more of an open mind. I didn't write this book. I didn't spend almost 40 years in fear that I would die without writing the book, and God would, when I go to heaven, say, why didn't you write that book?
I told
gave
you, to write
you
the
all
book.
That, yes. That information for it.
You're welcome. Our guest on the program has been William K. Dorrance. Second visit, you can go Google and find the first episode. Go to This Week in America. You'll be able to hear it and see it there. This is the continuation of our conversation. Encounters with God is the name of the book. I'd like to thank auctorumhouse.com, empowering authors, crafting excellence, your ideal partner in the journey toward literary success. Their website is auctorumhouse.com. Doctor, it's always a pleasure. Looking forward to another visit here. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bratton.
It is a pleasure. Our guest, once again, William Dorrance. The book is Encounters with God. All the information available on our website. You are listening to This Week in America, our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.